Hello, suitors, and thank you for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV for Season 6, Episode 5 of The Suits After Show. We are going to talk about all of it. We're going to talk about Mike, Frank, Harvey, Cahill, Harvey again, Cahill again. It's all here, and it is all next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Every week I want to go way slower than you guys are.
That's my only part.
How it feels.
All the lines. Hello and thank you for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV for the Suits After Show. Thank you for joining us at the law firm of Kaufman, Brazier,
Ike,
and Hobson. Nicole Brazier, our senior partner, is currently off. I believe which she's helping someone off death row right now.
Yeah. Yes.
It's very
Innocence Project.
So Nicole.
Innocence Project. It's a very worthy cause. We're very happy she's there. In her stead, I still have 2/4 of a full panel.
Hello.
Don't check my math here. Starting to my left.
What's up, guys? It's your host, Stacey Ike. You can check me out on Twitter and Instagram. I won't take Stace. Glad to be back.
And I'm Tiana Hobson. You can find me at the Tiana Hobson. And I'm also happy to be back.
I feel it goes without saying that I am happy to be back. Thank you all for joining us. I'll be checking out your chat room words. That's
your chat room words.
I said chat room words. I'm going to stick with chat room words.
You stick with it. You own it.
How did we feel about this episode?
I want to hear what Stacey thought, because she went on a little rant after we finished.
I did. I was a little stressed, guys. I don't know. This episode didn't wow me as much as I've been wowed in the past, and I have been wowed in the past several times. I was just a little caught off. There was a lot of jargon. There was just a lot of talk. And I honestly just couldn't follow it. And I don't know. I don't know if it's because we were watching at 9 p.m. I'm not sure what it was. But truthfully, some of the storylines were blending to the point that I was like, okay, this is about this. And especially the car scene and basically anything that had to do with Cahill this episode, for some reason I was like, what is... It was tying to so many things, mm-hmm. and I feel like I couldn't follow. That was just me. Lewis was great. That's all. As always.
Hashtag Lewis is great. I enjoyed tonight's episode. Okay. I thought that I like what they're doing with this season because we haven't ever explored this route of things, so it doesn't feel repetitive like some of the things over the last couple seasons have kind of been like, okay, there's a new enemy trying to take over the name of the firm and stuff. So it's something new and different, and it's taking us out of the office. And I like being at the prison. I don't know why. I like being there.
The prison is...
Because it's a dangerous place, so the stakes are really high.
That's what I like, and I like season-wide, I like that from episode one, they made it clear that Mike cannot spend 2 years at this prison.
Yeah, for sure.
Which was kind of an issue, not an issue, but a thought I had heading out of last season, which was, 2 years at a white-collar prison, like, Mike's a smart dude, he'll probably lift some weights, read a book.
Right.
He'll hang out in the library a lot, he'll file some motions, and then at some point he'll just be out.
Right.
So I liked up top where they're like, no, there's a huge problem that's going to happen on night one that's going to make it very clear that Mike cannot spend 2 years in prison. And not because he's a weak person, but because Harvey has an enemy in prison who's an informant and a bad dude.
Right.
And Mike's only way out is this. And convoluted's not the word, but I will say this complicated sort of affairs, which it always is when we involve Cahill.
Yes.
So we'll jump into that car scene with Cahill and Mike and Harvey.
Yeah.
And, by the way, the guy that you saw 2 episodes ago is the father-in-law in question.
Yeah.
Did you see that coming?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. I thought they'd have a new guy.
And me looking back on it, it's like, well,
clearly,
he wasn't just a one-and-done guest star because, you know, that actor whose name I'm blanking on right now, but he has that face of someone who you know and who's not just going to be in one episode and done. Mm-hmm. So I knew he was coming back, but I just did not see the whole father-in-law angle come in there.
For some reason, I wasn't surprised at all. As soon as he said Sutter, I was like, oh yeah. I don't know why. It was weird. But I think it's because when Suits brings us a character, It's not a joke.
There's no small parts.
Yeah. But I liked the character of Sutter, but right. I thought it would be more long-standing, like, be your C-side for the whole season and have nothing to do with everything else.
Right.
But then it suits. Everything has everything to do with everything. And you just best need to remember that.
That's true.
I enjoyed this.
I did.
Because if it were anybody else, now Harvey doesn't have stakes.
Right.
Now
right.
Harvey mm-hmm. is just like, well, okay.
And what I like is that because it's so complicated and these people have a deal and Harvey has a deal with this person, now he's right. representing basically the entire prison.
Of course.
You know, and it's so complicated because that's real life. Real life is complicated with this kind of stuff. If you're striking a deal with someone to be an informant, yeah, you have to then lie to everyone else mm-hmm. and it complicates your life and their lives. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it all happening and we're trying to make sense of it and keep up with who's crossing who. And at the same time, but the story is confusing us on purpose mm-hmm. so that we are always guessing and can't really figure out who's on what side and all that stuff. If any of that made sense,
no, that makes complete sense. That, let's focus on Mike and Frank and everything that happened within the prison. So Mike gets back and Frank doesn't trust him because Frank shouldn't trust him. Mike has secrets.
Exactly.
Mike shouldn't trust Frank, and Mike shouldn't tell Frank his secrets.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because pretty early on in the episode, Mike tells Frank all his secrets. And Frank is like, what do you take me for, an idiot? I'm going to believe that you got out of prison and right. then came back.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Which was the God's honest truth.
I mean, that's what happened, though. I guess, but continue.
That was my thought on those two.
Right.
Mike trusts the counselor.
Which I think is scary.
I thought the exact same thing. When he was sitting in there and telling him all that, I said, wow, what? I guess we're supposed to believe that the counselor, I mean, because that's kind of like gone back and forth with me in terms of like how much he cares about Mike's safety. You know, Mike says that every episode he's mm-hmm. in there, you told me you're going to help me get out of prison. Deal with life after prison. And you said you're here for this. And, you know, he says it every episode. You're here for this. And it's like reminding me as well that I'm supposed to care. I'm supposed to believe that the counselor cares about Mike. So for me, I was interested to see my reaction when he was like, so I'm about to inform on somebody. I'm like, hello.
I don't think your counselor needs to know all that.
I don't think he does either. But I mean, if he didn't, then how would he have gotten that moment with a warden? I don't know. Was there another way to get it?
No, I think what I'm seeing between both the counselor and the warden is a certain level of hardened institutionalism. Mm-hmm. And the warden even said it. Like, I've seen a lot of people cut a lot of deals with prosecutors.
And it does not work.
They don't, like, it doesn't work well. Like, because if you inform on him and it's not the exact information he wants, or it's this or it's that, and what we're learning now between Harvey and Cahill now, that, like, there's seven different layers of this whole deal, that it's, that they're like, maybe you should just, like, fight, maybe you should just fight the guy. And then just be done with it.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, what he risks now is getting more time to his sentence. It's kind of what the warden warned him about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting because last week, I believe we all kind of talked about how, you know, if the deal is so vague of, you know, oh, yeah, we need you to inform. But it's not just inform. You're doing all this. And then Cahill says, we need a conviction
exactly.
out of this. So if they don't get the conviction, they don't get it, and then people can find out that he was an informant, and then he's, you know, up Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
By the way, Harvey...
Up Schitt's Creek without a paddle?
How come I've never heard that? That's amazing.
That's a known...
Okay,
like,
let's move on.
Like, my mama say some crazy things, and I know that one she did not make up.
That's
her
own. That's
I need
one.
To borrow
that's
that one. That is funny. Okay, continue.
Well, because you're going up a creek means you're actually going down a creek. And if you don't have a paddle, you can't fight. It's a...
It's a very thought out.
I like
regardless of if the
I'm smart.
Regardless of if the creek is made of Schitt or water.
That is, yeah. I mean,
you're still fighting.
I might have added the Schitt to the creek, but
you're still fighting a current without a thing to actually fight a current. It's the analogy works the exact same.
Oh my gosh. I just can't. I have to borrow that. Continue. So sorry.
Lindsay Ivory Neptune in the chat says Mike thinks his counselor is a therapist.
Right.
Possibly.
I agree with that.
I think he should be listening to his counselor a little more. And at the... I don't... he should be listening to his counselor a little more when his counselor is generally concerned of, like, you shouldn't be talking to the warden, you shouldn't be talking to prosecutors. Mm-hmm. For better or for worse, you should just try to spend 2 years here.
Yeah.
The situation makes it dang near impossible, but he should try.
He should try.
Which just puts him in these impossible situations, which is perfect for TV.
Did we believe that the two-year thing was going to happen? Because I feel like there was a point that we did say, like, okay, let's just... I mean, obviously, they weren't going to make it 2 years for TV-wise, but didn't we think that...
There'd be a time jump?
Yeah, exactly.
There was talk of a time jump. I wouldn't have... I think we all said we would all feel a little cheated if...
Yeah.
If between season 5 and season 6, there was just a time jump, and then the... Then essentially the firm got rebuilt, did it in that stead, and then Mike gets out of prison and then becomes a consultant or whatever, or starts as a janitor, or however they're going to play that. They're going to pay him a janitor's salary, but then use him as a lawyer. However they plan to do that, I think we would have all felt very cheated of, right. Like, but we didn't get to watch them rebuild the firm from right. literally nothing. We yeah. didn't get to watch Mike get out of prison or struggle while he was in prison.
True.
Or meet a guy with a cell phone on his first
yeah,
night.
It would have been just lines here and there of, you know, well, we fought so hard to get back to this mm-hmm. place. We're not going back to mm-hmm. the bottom again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I want to see you at the
yeah,
I want to see right. you at the bottom.
The absolute right. bottom. I'd like to see yeah, you guys like at the absolute bottom for like 2 seasons.
Really? 2 seasons?
Oh, I
don't think they can bounce back overnight.
No. I agree. I don't think, but do you think, what do you, okay, that's into predictions. Never mind.
No, but go for it.
I mean, what do you think the end of this season could see? Do we see, I mean, we in the commercial, Jessica mentions, I don't want to be 3 people for long. So do we think we're going from 3 to 10 or are we going from 3 to 6? I mean,
I think we're going to go from 3 to 12, which is a pretty drastic increase.
True.
But still, from where Pearson Spector Litt was, true. The end of season 5
true.
Is like yeah. nothing.
Mm. All right. I didn't know y'all had it in ya.
It's just how I feel.
Yeah, I like it.
Because it's we'll ultimately appreciate and enjoy it if over time we watch this firm grow back to its former glory. Although,
how long is that?
We do have to point out that they keep claiming. Not everybody knows that they've lost all their glory.
Yes.
That like everybody knows they went down for hiring a fraud, but I think anyone in the know would understand that once that happened, most associates left. But I think for appearances, like client-wise, I think if a client still walked in there and we're like, well, no, but this is a really good law firm and that guy has Michael Jordan's baseball.
But I don't think it's going to be the tier clients that they're used to.
Not at all.
Because those clients are going to know. But, you know, you got Stu down the hall who mm-hmm. isn't paying attention. You got me in real life who's not paying attention
true.
To the inner workings of a law firm. I know which TV networks are struggling right now. I care about that.
Most of them.
Yeah. You tell me a law firm hired a fraud, I'm like, so?
Right. Interesting.
Was he hot?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Was he hot?
What's his Instagram?
Yeah. Who was he sleeping with? Like, how'd he get the job? That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Mike is hot. Anyway.
I think we asked the important questions here
exactly.
after Post TV.
We get the deets, people. So good.
So, the Harvey Cahill, while Mike is in prison.
Mm-hmm.
It scares me because they're doing something on the edge. They're skirting that line mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of, what is it, morals and stuff are, like,
yeah.
unlawful type
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, no, they're definitely...
Which we're trying to get the guy out of jail for doing the unlawful thing, so
but
why
Harvey,
are we skirting
the... But Harvey and Cahill play pretty fast and loose with the rules.
Does Cahill play as fast and loose as we're seeing him do now?
Yes.
Yeah. For some reason,
they are
I
the same person, just on
different
one's a prosecutor,
ends.
One's a lawyer.
Okay, all right. Because I don't know, the collaboration of them at the end with that quick, you know, hey, let's have a little toast or whatever, that was eerie for me a little bit. I just see trouble.
While we talk about Mike in prison, we should talk about the end of the episode with
mm-hmm.
Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin. So he gets...
Mike asked, what did you do?
Yep.
And he said, I got in a fight with my wife, went to the bar, had a couple... I think he implicitly said, I had way too many drinks.
Yeah,
or got
yeah.
drunker
he
than
said,
I
got drunk.
I got drunk, mm-hmm. and then I got in my car.
Yeah.
That is all the information we've given us.
Yeah.
A, I'm of the impression that we were never sure that Mike was actually going to inform on him up until that moment.
See, you said that earlier, but I do think he was going to inform. I mean, we don't know for sure because he could change his mind anytime, mm-hmm. and he's Mike. But when we start the episode with, I took the deal, then what does that mean? I mean, I assumed... Yeah. And that's why I thought he was prying, you know, inform, star to go. Like, I feel like he...
When you decide to become an informant, I'm assuming there's no paperwork involved.
Well, that they made that very clear in the last... Well, they made that very clear in the last 2 weeks that there will be no... Because Harvey was like the first thing he asked was like, I'd like this in writing, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because it's Kate not...
was like, no, we don't put that in writing.
Yeah, because it's not in writing, that's why we're not sure if he actually will go through with it.
Okay.
The consequences of him not going through with it could be the wrath of Cahill, who could, like the warden warned, could find a way to add time, make his life there, you know, more difficult or whatever. But I agree. I think that hearing the drunk driving thing, and he said, I almost killed someone. And when I heard that, I was like, ooh, Mike's going to be having PTSD flashbacks about his parents again.
But we have to be... understand what Danbury is. You don't... Like, Danbury is technically a white-collar prison, but you don't...
End up there for a DUI.
For no DUI.
You don't get 3 years for a DUI. And it's already been said that he didn't roll over... So unless he
was killed, like, a DUI is like $10,000 in fines. Plus you add on to someone.
New Jersey, said he almost killed.
California?
Oh, in California, it's the worst.
It's it's like $10,000. I have a lot of friends in college who got DUIs.
But I think
$10,000?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And like your license is done for like a long time. And you can't get hired anywhere that requires you to drive a car.
Anyway.
You don't drive drunk.
Yeah, don't do it. In any state, don't do it. But
for a lot of reasons, whatever reason motivates you most. And in California, the reason is like if any job you ever apply for ever again requires you to drive a car, you just can't do that for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's bad. But to bring it back to Kevin, he said, I almost killed someone, and he's there for 3 years.
So I'm like, what does that mean?
I think either it was vehicular manslaughter, or it was probably, my thought is, and it borders on a prediction, but it's something we'll know pretty soon. My thought is he went in for a DUI. Where he got into a car accident on a DUI, didn't hurt or kill anybody. He may have hurt somebody. The prosecutor realized that he was Sutter's son-in-law, and decided, well, actually, this can be as light as a DUI can be, which is in New Jersey would be probably $5,000 in a class, and your license would be suspended for 3 to 5 years or something. That would be minor because DUIs are pretty serious in a lot of states.
Right.
He says, or they offer him that if you inform on your father-in-law. And he says no for whatever reason.
I hate that if that's the case, I hate that they're putting those situations together. I got a DUI, punish me, leave my father-in-law out of it.
But that's what he did. I got
a
DUI.
It was proposed
that
to him.
That said, the book got thrown at him if that's the case.
Yeah.
Because instead of I got a DUI and got into an accident while I got a DUI, they're like, no, that's vehicular manslaughter. You can plead out on 3 years.
Wow.
That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
See, and the other reason why I know he's not telling us the whole truth is because when Harvey went to talk to him, Harvey said, there's about to be indictments thrown down, and you are a lot of people in here's ticket out of this place. So if you ever have doubts about your father-in-law, keep them to yourself.
Yeah.
That is a big statement. How is he holding the key to a lot of inmates specifically
he's
there?
He's complicit to something else prior to the fight, prior to the DUI.
And then he told Mike, ever since I got here, I've had to keep my head down, like, be protective of myself, and I don't talk to a lot of people. So he's clearly holding back, and then he went into the DUI story. So that's why when he was saying it, I was like,
That doesn't make sense.
That ain't it, dude. That might be part of the story. That's the intro.
Exactly.
Now I need you intro
chapter
bit,
two.
I need chapter two. I need the juicy bits of what you actually did.
But Mike didn't even. He definitely didn't believe. I mean, not that he didn't believe, but he goes, "What? Did you hear the way he said that? What?"
Yeah.
It was like he was just so confused because he had heard so much without even knowing anything. Like Harvey and Kale had already sprinkled so much in his head. He was like, I don't get it. Where's
that's my sus out. That's my sus out of the situation. I might not be entirely accurate.
But I like where you're going
with
that. I think that they got him on something that could have been way less than 3 years in prison, but said you can do 3 years in prison if you don't roll over. And he didn't roll over.
Yeah.
That said, that's a prediction. But he's got to be implicit in something huge.
Yeah, seriously.
Huge. For Cahill to be involved.
Wait, okay. Also, the way to Tiana's point about what Harvey told Kevin, has he articulated that to Mike in terms of that Kevin might be their ticket out of there? Does Mike know that?
Mike knows that. Mike knows that if he informs on Kevin.
No, I think she's saying that Kevin holds the key to other people.
We didn't hear that until today. But we know that Kevin's been talking. I mean, Harvey and Mike have been talking about Kevin. And
but I think I think that kind of means that Harvey's also representing Frank. And then I think Harvey has some type of weird 6-level plan to get more than one person out of prison.
I don't know.
Because if Sutter,
that could be
because if Sutter's his client, he can't have Mike inform. With the information that Kevin gives him.
Interesting.
As I think it out, I'm like, that's a lot more steps than I thought.
Yeah.
You can't have Mike inform based on the information Kevin gives him in order to get Sutter put away for stuff. Or is Mike's... Or, I don't know. I would imagine... I
mean, Mike could inform, right?
Like, but I think Harvey's plan is to get Mike to inform.
Mm-hmm.
So that Cahill can go after Sutter.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately try to defend Sutter from whatever Mike did.
Oh my gosh.
But meanwhile, Sutter has to get convicted for Mike to get out at all.
So how does Kevin get out? Does he ever get out?
I don't think anyone... this sounds harsh. No one cares about Kevin.
I can tell.
Harvey wants to get Mike out.
And placate Frank from... killing or maiming Mike in the meantime.
Yeah, and I think that Mike will be the one who wants to help Kevin out because Mike is the one. If it turns out that Kevin is like super innocent in all of this stuff, then Mike will be like, well, if I'm getting out, we got to figure out a way to get him out too.
And it would serve a double arc of him, forgiving someone who made a mistake once.
Yes.
Actually, that's actually a pretty deep arc. The more I think about it, because him forgiving someone who drove drunk once is the equivalent to everyone around him forgiving him for pretending to be a lawyer once.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
See, like it's there.
See, I'm okay.
It's
I'm
baked
back.
In. It's
I'm
here.
Back, folks. I'm sorry I took a day off because I was just really.
It's a lasagna. We're pulling back the layers.
That's how you eat a lasagna, girl.
No, I just put there as layers.
I'm kidding. I truly, truly love that, and I think it's very important that we do have a moment where, if that's what it is. Mike forgiving this Kevin, you know, whatever he represents.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I can see the intensity of what that's going to look like. I love it.
But to be fair, starting next week, I can see the intensity in Mike of like, I don't care about this dude.
I hate you, yeah.
I don't care about this dude anymore.
Which sucks, because Mike does that. He gets so,
he gets so idealistic.
Yeah.
Instead of humanistic.
It's like, dude, I don't want to take away from anything that happened to his parents, but I hate the way he's done that so many times in the series, like blamed somebody who might have had a similar story, and it's like, but they're different.
But it's also, like you said, Steve, the pot calling the kettle black. Absolutely. Because Mike has been deceiving people and lying to people and doing something bad, not to the extent of actually harming people, but it's still wrong and bad. And
harming them enough,
he expects
money.
Forgiveness from people, so he should give forgiveness
true,
to people.
True, true, true.
I think we just nailed the overall arc.
I mean,
this half of the
drop
season.
The mic.
That was dope, y'all. That was truly dope.
We're going to circle back to a little more Harvey Cahill Sutter stuff later. Let's jump into Jessica and Stu.
Mm. I'm just going to laugh.
They're, they're interesting.
They sure are.
But I think I like them a little bit.
I like them. I think they're good for each other.
Yeah.
I think they're real good for each other.
Romantically or just for fun in the show?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay. No to the romance.
Why?
Because Stu's annoying.
Is that why?
That's really it. I mean, he's nice and not bad looking, but he's annoying. I don't know. Jessica's like, I miss her old boo, but I don't know.
That's why.
I truly miss her old boo. I haven't gotten over that relationship. And he eats people's bran bars. I'm not feeling that. But other than that, I think what I love is their relationship as just like. Tenet and whatever the case is now, because it's so cool to see the moments that Jessica has power. Because like we've said before, sometimes she doesn't have to say too much within an episode to know that she's kind of the mama bear. And when she does stuff like that, it's just like, it's great. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when Harvey said, I know who she'll talk to. Not me, not Lewis. We got to go all the way to Jessica for this even to happen. It's just, it's very beautiful. So that part of the relationship, I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, the reason he had to talk to Jessica is because clearly he
likes her.
Yeah.
But still, that's fine. She's cute. He should like her. I mean, that's it.
Lorena Rock in the chat says Jessica is too fine.
She is too fine. Thank you.
But like, I think that's like the statement. Like, Jessica's just like too fine for like everybody. So that once she gets over that, she can maybe give Stu a chance. Maybe, or at least give Stu like a couple more chances to prove himself worthy of a date with Jessica.
I think that we will get there because, like I said last week, I think that Jessica needs someone to just have some fun with. Kick off the Manolos for a second, girl. Like, relax, have a little fun.
I'm really
break
interested
a lease.
To see those
yeah, break a lease, have a little fun. Everyone deserves a summer fling. I don't know what season it is
exactly.
Right now.
They're like in coats.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, they're in like coats all the time, so I never know. Like, is it ever warm in
New
York?
Exactly. Seriously.
And that last scene with Rachel looks like she was dressed to go to like a ballet or something.
I know.
But part of me, because there's like a whole nightlife that these characters have that we're like, oh, she looks like she's gonna go see Black Swan. And that's just not important to this conversation.
Right. But just so you know.
Like, she changed. And was ready for that.
Hilarious.
I'll circle back to it on predictions. So Lewis needs a house.
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
this
so that he
so
can
funny.
Get a date. I actually felt bad for Lewis for a second.
How so?
Here. Because he got so emotional talking to Jessica, talking to Donna about this. And he wants her to like him so bad that he is doing the most extreme thing to try to just spend time with her because he's so afraid that he isn't good, like that she will just look at him and be like, no, I don't want to date you. Mm. And that makes me sad because there are so many people in this world who deal with the same struggle and issues of it doesn't matter how successful you are, you still have those insecurities.
No, that's an incredibly relatable feeling.
Yeah,
it is.
And it's like, I just don't have the money to spend on a house in the Hamptons so I can impress the hot contractor I want to date. So.
Yeah, although to a certain extent, I feel like people who have that problem but also have a lot of money have a bit of a crutch to like, no, I'm just going to buy that house in the Hamptons so that she'll think I have a house in the Hamptons, whereas most of us without money just have to face that problem.
Right.
I'm like, hey, I like you, but we're in a professional relationship, and I think it would be inappropriate for me to tell you I like you, but I like you, and if you need to fire me as a client, I completely get that.
Right.
But what he's going to end up doing is it's going to be the Hamptons house first, and then he's still not going to have the courage to do it, and then it's going to be something else. He's going to keep... He's going to have places all over the world by the time he's done with it. It's going to take a 10-year scam just to get one date out of the girl. By the time he actually asks her out, she's going to be married with 10 babies.
I don't think we need to escalate that far.
The thing that's so interesting is I love that Tiana made that point because it is... Lewis was extremely relatable, as usual. I mean, some of the things he goes through, regardless of the joke way we go through it, it makes sense. But Donna gave him a little bit of, hey... You don't really have to do that. You're good enough. Like, I love you. I miss you. I think you're great. You're wonderful. And I'm not really sure who else he would need to hear from besides Donna. So that's, I mean, I don't know. I know he's still dealing with his Harvey complex. Mm-hmm. And it only comes out here and there now. And I'm and hearing that he's still mourning Sheila a little bit. That was cool. But it's just kind of like, I thought that Lewis had learned the lesson a couple seasons ago. And I know that it doesn't go away. And I know it's not like a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. We all deal with insecurities. But I just hope that Lewis had graduated to the fact that he knew, like, I mean, I'm going to light you up. Like, I'm lit. Like, so I was hoping, you know.
But he has that confidence professionally. He always did.
But that's not what we're talking about.
He does not have that confidence. And that's the lesson he still has to learn.
Yeah. He felt an instant connection. Or he said, there's something about this woman.
Wouldn't it be funny if something was like it was his half sister or something? I don't know. Like,
nah, that seems unnecessary.
But like, I'm just saying,
it's
not
General Hospital.
It is so real.
Is James Franco showing up just because he wants to?
Of course not. I know, but it would just be so because he said something about this woman and we haven't seen her since. So I'm just wondering, like, what was it? Because she was cute, but come on.
No, anyway. But we saw the connection last week. Like, there was a connection there, but she also called it out that I like to have a very
personal relationship
with my clients. So my issue. Looking out for Lewis
yeah
was Is that the connection he felt all manufactured because that's her job?
Mm-hmm. Just like strippers.
That's what she said. It is. You're probably right.
But as someone who's freelance a lot of the time, like that's really what people are buying. And that's really what you're selling is a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. Like the product is pretty much secondary to how they feel when you give them the product.
Right.
So she's not wrong.
Sorry, in my head, I'm still thinking of strippers. So everything you're saying, I'm relating it to stripping.
It's independent. Whether you're a Lyft driver or a stripper, it's all about how people feel.
When you're done.
Oh, God! She brought it all the way around. I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, God, that was special.
It's an old saying that I may have created very recently, which was, do you want to know what you call a salesman who will actually listen to you? A therapist.
Hilarious.
Because you're providing a service. Mm-hmm. And if the service is to listen to you, that's the service.
And you're made to feel special.
I don't want to be cynical because I do think Lewis had a genuine connection with this person.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if that genuine connection was romantic in nature or professional in nature, that line gets real blurred by what she literally just said.
And that's the thing I want to
explore. So you shouldn't
be
buying a house
exactly
to impress her. Maybe rent a house?
That's all we're saying.
Rent the house.
But he can't do construction in a rental.
Rent a house that you can do construction in.
Or don't.
Talk to the Royal Pains guys. Because they're already down there.
I just want to explore this journey with just the full, like, feelings. And not the money, not the Hamptons, not any of that. That's,
Well, we have to eventually get that when they're both down there at the Hamptons.
And the Hampton house is bought.
And he's expecting a relationship or the makings of a relationship. And he either realizes, like, yes, I feel this way too, or no, you're just another client. Mm-hmm. Mm. Either way, he's going to learn a lesson. Actually, only the bad way, he's going to learn that lesson, which is if you like somebody, you just got to be like, hey, I like you. It's the thing you never learn in preschool.
True. Because you have to, like, punch them instead. But...
Well, that's what girls did, because guys were so dense. Guys were so dense, we didn't understand. That girls needed to, like, literally break our nose and be like, no, I like you.
No, I'm kidding. You're about to own up.
That sounds out. I was like, I just pushed him down and kissed him when I liked him.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's direct.
Yeah, it was pretty direct. I was also taller than most of the boys. So
8-year-old me would have appreciated that.
I just manhandle him.
That's hilarious.
I think now's a good time to head on over to some news and gossip.
Yeah, so news and gossip. Guys, do I have some news and gossip for you? I got the tea. Mm. So, oh, we're going to pull up this YouTube video right now. So I was at the Fox TCAs on Monday, and I was doing my thing, interviewing people, and the cast of Lucifer came by, and DB Woodside is on Lucifer now. So we was talking, and at the end of the interview, I was like, hey, DB, I gotta let you know, I love me some suits.
Right.
So I told him that, and he told me a very special little thing. Do we have it queued up? I don't want to ruin it. I want you guys to...
We're just having some technical difficulties.
No worries.
Oh, no.
Okay. So should we go to predictions and then come back to this?
Well, we have one more topic and then... But the TCAs, who else did you get to talk to at the TCAs?
At the TCAs, I talked to the cast of the new Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, nice.
So excited
out
for this.
Victoria Justice, Christina Milian, yeah. Reeve Carney, Ben Vereen was there. I mean, like, wow. What? It was amazing. And then the cast of Scream Queens was there. We had the new show Pitch that's coming out about the first female baseball pitcher.
She's a girl. What's her name?
Kylie.
I love her.
So adorable. Oh, so much fun. Such a, like, humble spirit.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And then, I got to sit in on some panels, got some free swag. I got this awesome phone case that says Tionce on it.
Yes. I mean,
and Fox, but,
You clearly got to put whatever name you wanted on that phone case.
Yeah, you got to put anything you wanted. And it was amazing. I chose Tionce because,
Hey. Love it. Love.
How are we feeling on that play button?
Hey, guys. So we can go ahead and play the audio from this.
Okay, let's play the audio. That's all that really matters.
always happen. It doesn't always happen like that, but we do. We really like, we, you know, there's a real care for the show and our crew as well, who
it's
are amazing. I'll give
TV
them a big
yet.
Shout out right now.
Yeah. He's coming up in a second, right here.
Unsung heroes.
Yeah. But they all, you know, they all decided they want to come back and do the show, which doesn't always happen either. And that sort of spoke volumes to all of us. And it's a nice place to be.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like fun. And I have to say, DB, I am a huge Suits fan, and I thought Jessica did you totally wrong.
She did, didn't she?
Really wrong.
She really did.
And I want you to know, I was
thank
on your
you.
Side.
Thank
I was there to support you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm... Keep watching this season because maybe she's going to apologize.
Ooh.
What?
Oh, oh I knew she was coming. I knew it.
Okay, so tell everyone
so
where they can find Lucy.
Okay, so she cannot date Stu. That's all I'm saying. Yes, she needs to be available and ready for my man.
No,
yes.
She needs to make amends.
So that she can move on.
She can move on.
No, you guys, you're not listening. No.
Guys, not next week, but the week after. We're past our 3-episode rule on ships.
Oh, yeah.
So not next week, but the week after, we can start talking about Vanessa Stu. Or sorry, Jessa Stu.
Jessa Stu.
Oh, no.
Jessa
Stu. We just heard this great information. How could you guys...
He didn't say he's coming back.
We don't know. We don't know. What
the... He just She's said gonna... she might apologize. That could be a phone call, an email, a text message. We don't know.
Dang, y'all. He's
a Snapchat.
So
a Snapchat.
A snap.
So that,
Jessica
you know,
does
there's
not
no
snap.
Evidence of it. It just goes away in 24 hours.
No, Jessica doesn't snap. But, ooh, I love that. Great question, T.
Thank
love
you.
Them.
So that's for you guys at home. I was like,
yes.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
So to bring it back to Jessica, Jessica kind of came through two threads this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The other thread was Rachel and the Innocence Project with Leonard Bailey. Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say Leonard Leon, and I'm like, that's not correct. That's just Leonard again. Leonard Bailey, who was pretty much her professor told her, nope, don't worry about that guy. Yeah. We're going to go for, I guess, a more winnable case. Like, yeah. What would the Innocence Project pick over... I feel like the Innocence
they
Project...
They need a new DNA. They need a new DNA to be...
Yeah, yeah. So that's too complicated for mm-hmm. them to take on. That part of the Innocence Project probably means that you need, like, results. So it's more important to, like...
Take on a case that's winnable.
Or at least... Well, because they're not necessarily getting people off death row as much as they're saving them from death.
I thought they were getting them out.
I don't... But they'd have to be innocent to get them out, and I don't think that was always the case. Right? Somebody refresh me on the Innocence Project.
Because he said he didn't do it. Like, that's what Leonard is claiming.
But
so
I mean,
like,
everyone says that. I feel,
everyone
correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the Innocence Project would be one of those greater good projects that's like, well, we get law students who are capable of getting death row people life in prison.
I don't think everybody's on death row, though, that goes through the program. Definitely not.
Fair enough.
Definitely
yeah.
not. Definitely
but I think
not.
I
also don't know if the Innocence Project is an actual thing.
Oh, it is. Oh,
okay.
My God.
It
I,
is absolutely
I wanted to intern
a thing.
With them as a college.
Okay.
And if you're watching, I still would intern with you today.
Perfect.
I love the Innocence Project because it is, I don't know. The only thing is, I don't know what constitutes as like a certain case. To
oh,
me,
okay.
I've never heard
oh,
as
so
like.
Oh, so they're specifically looking for cases where someone will get out.
Yes, mostly exonerated, probably exonerated for the most part because
the
they
case
didn't
happened.
Do it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So that's kind of my understanding. But now that we have Leonard's case where it's like death row, I've never heard about that situation. So
whereas they review the case and realize, well, it's not worth the man hours.
Well,
just
Sheldon in the chat just mm-hmm. said it's off death row, so life. Or freedom.
Yes. So off one, death row is
yeah,
part of their project.
Yeah.
So that they sent her to literally just say, hey, this man shouldn't die.
Yes.
Which is a way easier argument than, hey, this dude didn't
sentence.
Do
yeah.
it.
But I think that what the professor said here, which is very sad because it's also very true, is just they don't have enough resources. This is
to
all
do it, yeah.
pretty much pro bono.
Yeah.
volunteer work and dealing with law students. Even when she goes to Jessica's like, I don't have 1 hour a week to spend supervising you on this. So if you can't get Jessica to do it, how many actual lawyers are out there volunteering their time for all of this stuff? So you just don't have the manpower. It sucks
it does.
Because there's so many cases like this that Rachel's gonna have to deal with eventually because, you know, we always say she gets very emotionally
mm-hmm.
attached
mm-hmm.
to her clients
mm-hmm.
and working at a place for like the Innocence Project actually probably isn't the best place for someone like Rachel because she wants to help everyone and
right.
you just physically can't
mm-hmm.
help
But we
everyone
also talked
here.
About this last week that this case isn't just case. This case is escape. Escape or distraction from the mic situation.
Absolutely. Even when, and so interesting how she made it relatable this episode when she, you know, Leonard said, you don't know what it's like to be away from your family. And she said, I do. My fiance's in prison. I didn't, that sentence kind of struck me a little bit because she was like, yeah, my fiance's in prison. And it was kind of like a, I don't know. It was, I know it's, she knows and she's come to terms with it before, but to me, hearing her say it for some reason kind of brought another level of like, yeah, this is what my fiance feels, and this is also how I feel on the other side, and now there's this other guy who feels like that. It was good. I thought Leonard was an incredible actor, by the way.
Yes.
I absolutely loved him.
I'm excited to see him through, because it looks like we're going to get a lot more of him.
Yeah, good, good. He was great.
The entire way through. Lindsay Ivory Neptune in the chat. Why couldn't Lewis supervise her? Lorena Rock in the chat. Because he's in love. I think it's more that Rachel trusts Jessica more than she trusts Lewis.
Right.
But if the choice were not to defend Leonard or have Lewis supervise her, she probably would have had Lewis supervise her. That said, I'm not sure if Lewis would take on a case like that either.
Yeah.
Because Lewis is a lot more like Harvey, where he wouldn't take on
something so emotional.
I don't even want to say a losing case as much as a really complicated case.
Yes, and I think that it goes back to the conversation that Jessica had with Rachel when she found out she was doing it, and, you know, the whole women empowerment in the office type of thing, where she goes to Jessica because she already thinks Jessica's proud of this thing that I'm doing, so I can definitely get her on my side again. But I did have the same thought. I was like, well, if Jessica says no, go to the next lawyer. And then I was like, wait a second, there's only two other guys in the office.
And one of them is trying to get your fiance out, so don't go to him.
Yeah, don't go to Harvey. Yeah. And Harvey doesn't take losers.
Yeah.
Also, like, Lewis is a little tied up at a couple other things. And Gretchen and Donna aren't lawyers.
Yeah.
So, like, it's important to
know. So when I was thinking, I was like, well, girl, just go find you. Everyone quit. Oh,
right.
Yeah,
or it's like, girl, just go find you, like,
this is one of those
another
moments
senior
where,
partner.
This is one of those moments where her and Mike would, like, collab together and, like, make magic. Man, I miss those moments.
And force Harvey to take
on
the case.
Oh,
too.
Season 2, 1. Mm, 1, 2, and 3. Anyway.
Okay.
I just, their relationship has grown so much. I really love it. Moving on.
But moving on, I feel like we covered all the Cahill, Harvey, Frank, Kevin. Because that I broke that down to be two different categories, but I think we covered it in one category that we're ready for predictions.
Let's get into it. Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I will start to the far left, because you look like you have something, Tiana.
I don't know if I have anything. I will start with the obvious, that Kevin is clearly lying.
Yeah.
Clear, just straight up lying, like there was, he didn't get drunk.
He's telling half-truths.
He's lying by omission. It feels like a lie by omission.
Yeah, because he stopped his story at, I woke up and there was a police officer in front of me and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so what did the police officer say?
Exactly.
What happened? You were in an ambulance. You had to be processed and booked. Like, what else happened, Kevin? I mean, just from that alone, I really, really would like to get some answers on Kevin. I'm also very concerned with Harvey representing three different people in the prison. It just seems like at some point there's going to be like a lawyer conflict of interest and something about this deal with Cahill, I know they're toasting and acting buddy-buddy now, but something about this deal and now with him representing three bad guys in, or not bad guys, but three people in the prison, just seems like the deal is going to, something's going to happen with the deal with Mike that's going to blow up in everyone's
face. Well, and to be fair, that seems on the horizon. And we did end this entire episode on a very touching moment of Cahill and Spectre. Very worthy adversaries having toasting to each other pretty much the night before battle. Like, because initially, like, visually or even vocally, like, it wasn't as, like, impactful as some of the other suits' endings are until you really are like, no, these guys are going to go to war.
Yeah.
In a really complicated, Like, I bested you, you bested me, I bested you. Like, two of the best lawyers
in New York. It's so complicated, though. Like, even watching that moment, I was like, because he was like, an indictment's coming tomorrow. And he's like, all right, I'll see you. I've just never heard, seen that before.
Of course the indictment's coming tomorrow. Because
so
he's, because he couldn't get it, he couldn't get the new holding company suspended. Mm-hmm. So he has to send an indictment to just straight up go after Sutter. And then he's going to go after Kevin. And
crazy.
And then Mike is going to give information on Sutter, who's going to turn around on Kevin. And then Harvey's representing all of them.
That's what I'm saying. For Harvey to be representing
But like literally
people,
Harvey,
y'all.
But for Harvey to get Mike out of prison, he would have to be at least four steps ahead of Cahill at every point before they had this drink at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
He has the foot. He's done the legwork. He's representing enough people inside the prison and outside the prison. He's representing and has his hand in enough of these pots that it seems likely he's going to get Mike out. But in typical Suits fashion, somewhere in the middle, it's not going to be the plan he expected. He's going to pivot, and then the pivot is actually going to be the plan.
Exactly. Yeah. I like that.
Just while we're doing arcing predictions, do we think Mike gets out this summer?
No. Wait. Actually, I think I said last week yes.
I think so.
I'm sticking with yes.
Yeah, I definitely think
sticking
so.
With, although, if 2 weeks ago I had said, do you think Mike gets out, and we had all said yes, we'd all be correct. Because he got out.
Yeah. He did get out.
He got out for three seconds.
Right.
3 seconds. 3 hours.
Yeah.
Do we think Kevin is... Or we kind of talked about Kevin lying. Do we think Lewis will find love?
Yeah, that was my prediction. I'm definitely interested to see the Cahill Harvey drama, but if we go back to Lewis, I just want to figure out when she figures out what the hell's going on, that I bought a house mm-hmm. to say what's up to you. So, do we think he finds love? I'm going to say yes.
I think Lewis finds love in that Lewis will fall in love. Will the love be returned to him? Reciprocated? Uh-huh. Is it unrequited love?
I think
is my question.
Honestly, I think it would be the best character. I think it would be the best character choice for Lewis to be this sprung, and then for her to feel the same way. Because then he doesn't actually learn anything.
Exactly.
Because then he still has a lesson to learn.
Right.
He just happens to be in love.
Right.
But because Donna warned him about what would happen when she finds out. He's got to learn a lesson. So
yes.
That's why I don't.
That's,
that's
lesson.
Why I think it's going to be.
Also, Donna seemed
thing.
Real upset about this whole situation.
Yeah, she was very upset.
She was still supportive at the end, though.
She's Donna. She's always supportive.
She's Donna. She's still going to do her
job.
True.
I think I can end us on this. I think that the story Kevin told is true. Mm-hmm. I think the fight he got in with his wife was about his involvement in some illegal dealings with her father. I think they were so illegal and so brazenly prosecutable that when he went down for a DUI that may or may not have been... like involuntary manslaughter or worse. Cahill came to him, or another prosecutor came to him and said, if you flip on your father-in-law, you will get the like minimum sentence for a DUI, not vehicular manslaughter or whatever. And he didn't flip. Mm-hmm. Which will conflict Mike the whole way, because this guy was a guy who made a mistake, the same mistake that ruined Mike's life, as far as Mike is concerned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back to the whole theme of forgiveness and understanding. And that said, somehow with Harvey knowing, having his hand in every pot, he'll get everybody the ending they deserve, not necessarily the ending they want.
Okay.
Mm. That seems fair.
That seems fair,
but a little vague enough that I gave myself some wiggle.
We're
like
five weeks
from now, I'm like, well, everybody
exactly
got
that.
The ending. In the meantime, where can the people find you guys on the Twitter, Stacey?
You guys can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at One Take Stace. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And check me out at the Tiana Hobson.
And you guys can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. Except for Thursdays, where I do use Instagram. That's Steve_Kaufman, KAUFMANN. I only post on Thursdays. They can attest to it. That's a truthful fact.
It is.
I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly. Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.